Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Hey, look, Karen's already. Yay, so I don't have to talk to myself.
Good evening.
Hello, Karen. Good evening.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I had a good week. As good as can be expected, given the current climate, you know, and the pandemic and all that. But, you know, pretty good.
Ah, what pandemic?
Week.
This is normal life now.
I know. This is normal life. You know, my ankle is pretty good. I can walk. I can drive. I got a job. So I had a pretty good week. How about you? Yeah, I'm able to get around again. So, you know, I've said it before. If you got to break your ankle, do it during a pandemic. You don't have to miss out on anything.
Exactly.
Because nothing's happening. Yeah.
Cool. And
yeah.
Jamie is here, too.
Hello.
Good evening, Jamie.
Hi,
Good
Jamie.
Evening. Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Not that I've seen tons, but...
That's okay. There's not a ton to see.
No, I know, but I do have to. I do want to catch up on Lovecraft County, country. But it was. I knew I could watch like four in one night, so it was kind of like not going to work. So
I think it's a show that you would like because it has horror and it has magic, and then it has like good characters and a very serious, like, you know, I mean, it has a very serious story. Not that I, you know. Not that we like stories about racism, but it has this, like, real relevance also. I just think I know you like magic, you like some horror, and good stories.
Yeah,
so.
I definitely want to watch it. I just, because of everything lately, have not gotten to, but I do plan to do that. But at least I'm caught up on Raised by Wolves. I was just going to say Raised by Children. My mind is messed up. Raised by Wolves.
That might
and
be
also,
a show to watch, Raised
since
by
Jamie,
Children.
Yeah.
Since Jamie wasn't here last week, are you guys going to talk about the mid-season finale of Wynonna?
Oh, we never got a chance to talk about that last week.
I got to think back to it. But, yeah.
Well,
so I'm trying
the
to
mid-
remember how exactly it ended. I know there was the whole Rosita thing.
So Rosita
was
left. Rosita can't leave the convent of the revenant nuns, the formerly revenant nuns.
Yeah.
And so she's going to live there.
But she's okay.
And, so
and I remember the big thing that happened at the end was the main part about it, I guess.
The big thing that happened was Wynonna found out that it was the Clantons that were trying to buy the baby
right.
from Rosita, and she ends up
killed
shooting
him.
The sheriff in the back.
Yeah.
And Doc is very, very disappointed in her.
I was very, very disappointed in her. That, like...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, she's supposed mm-hmm. to be the good one, and it's like he agreed to be good. And he had seen before, like, he wanted to. You know, Doc knew he was close and he could get him. And then she goes and does that. And that's, like you said, that's even worse, too. She shot him in the back. She didn't even, like... He didn't even have a chance. He thought he was fine, and then she shot him. And I think that was such a horrible thing. And I think that... I definitely think it's going to affect
yeah.
the relationship for a while. I know Tim is.
I think so. I mean,
eventually he'll probably have to forgive her, but because he's done things without, you know, that aren't so great. But that
yeah,
doesn't make
but,
it okay.
Yeah. She shot him in the back after Doc said, "Oh, by the way, we made a deal and we made a truce." Right?
Yeah.
The guy made
but
a
she
truce.
Knew.
Yeah.
And she
knew.
Didn't,
yeah.
I mean, she didn't even talk about it. She just like made the decision all on her own, and that was not cool. I mean. Maybe the other ones in the family, but he hadn't actually done anything. I mean, if anything, he saved her from being killed by the mob. Now, that's not to say he wasn't going to let her, you know, be put to death if she got a trial and everything. I don't know how that would have ended up. But he did kind of save her, and he seemed like he did not want to be doing what he was doing. Out of all of them, I mean, that girl was kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he hadn't actually per se done anything, and yeah.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, especially also after Wynonna, like, her whole story arc had been about how I'm nothing without these people, and we're a family, and we work together, and I, you know, like, she was so, like, helpless, and then, as you said, she just unilaterally decided on her own to do this.
Yeah,
and
granted, that guy, I say he wasn't bad. I more mean, I guess, compared to them, because, I mean, he didn't stop his mother from basically killing his brother. So he's not entirely great.
But I don't
but
know if
them,
he really could have. Like, she's some kind of a sorceress, and he doesn't appear to have any supernatural abilities.
Maybe
that
not.
We know
but
about.
He didn't try to stop his mother. Let's put it that way. But he
I
didn't
know,
actually
but
do
I
anything
like,
to Winona outright, which is kind of my point.
Yeah. I feel like their mother is abusive, and they are maybe from they're sort of traumatized and like abused people. But it was a pretty bad thing to do. And she says, like, well, they're never going to stop coming after us. They're never going to stop. And so I just have to kill everybody before they get to me. That's a very, that's not a way to live, right?
Between the rest of the family, probably, you know, which could have been over. So that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, that. I think you're right that it's going to, it's going to affect their relationship. Doc is very disappointed. Doc has a sense of honor. Like, we might not, you know, he has a code, and we might not totally agree with it, but he has a code, and that is not down with Doc's code, what she did.
Right.
Like, shooting a man in the back is, one of the worst things you can do in the Wild West, right? And, and we saw that Doc is very, you know, the way that Wyatt portrayed Doc as this guy that you know, Wyatt says that Doc shot first at the OK Corral, which he didn't, right?
That was where we differed. I remember when we talked last time, I had thought that it was supposed to be that he did, but I understood that he did because Wyatt said that he did something. You know what I mean? Like, Doc thought he had already attacked them or whatever, or made the first move, which he hadn't, but I took it that Wyatt just kind of tricked him because he wanted him to do his bidding. So, he wasn't honest with him. But I think that's kind of neither here nor there. It was still partially Wyatt that obviously...
I took it that
it
Wyatt was
like
running down...
I
took it that Wyatt was running down Doc to make his own legend look better and make Doc look worse.
That too.
It was a shitty thing to do, but... Doc's not gonna. Yeah, I think it's gonna really it really was a part of Winona that he doesn't maybe never saw before, doesn't want to see.
Right.
That she would do that. Yeah. It kind of out of character maybe for her.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The thing now that I wanted to say is now this is mid season. Now there's obviously a chance this would come back, but I don't think anything's been said just because of all the. Because of all the shooting problems, or am I wrong? Was it another season? Because I'm thinking right now everything's up in the air, if I remember rightly.
It said returning in 2021 is all it said at the end of the
episode.
But
we don't know
we don't know when, and it's not renewed for another season.
Right, that's what I thought. Well, that being said, if this is the last season, which I hope it isn't, but if it is, I do hope that they wrap up I just thought about with what you're saying. I do hope they wrap up the Alice storyline in the sense that I do hope they get their daughter back before the end of the show. That was just the one thing I wanted to comment on.
Yeah,
kind of sucky if they didn't.
I don't really see those two raising a child together, but I could see an ending where they see that she's happy where she is and they know she's safe and they let her be raised by whoever, you know. Away from the Ghost River Triangle and have a happy, they can be happy knowing that she's
right. As long as
there's
some kind of resolution. I mean, heck, that's kind of what happened on X-Files. So I can't, you know,
pretty much,
just I hope that it's got some kind of resolution that at least we know she's safe I mean, I guess we know she's safe, but it's not like we don't really know a lot of anything, I guess, is kind of, kind of that. And then Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I know I was going to comment on I know what you're going to say, so go ahead and say it.
No, I was going to say, I guess the other big thing of the episode is that Waverly proposed to Nicole
I guess on the one hand, I kind of felt like they already proposed, at the end of last season, right?
I think they had been going to, and then they couldn't because of whatever happened, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. It's not my favorite part of the story, partly because I'm just not really a shipper of anyone. Those two on any show ever, you know, I'm the least shippy person. But it's kind of, and we've talked about how I feel like Waverly has become kind of the main character, and everything revolves around Waverly all the time. Not just the storyline, but the characters revolve around here. Like, everyone is so devoted to Waverly on the show. But it's huge. I mean, there are a lot of fans who see themselves in this couple, and same-sex couples exist a lot in sci-fi, but don't get the huge romantic story arc always on the shows that we watch. Sometimes they're just like sort of as a fact.
Right, right.
And so it's kind of huge, I guess. I do think that that relationship has dominated the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe. I mean, of course, we're going to see a lot of the season preparing for the wedding, and that should be full of many accidents and emergencies along the way, I'm sure.
Right.
Also, you know, Nicole had that vision, which I know was part of being possessed by the Clantons, but she had that vision where she's all in black and she, like, kills everyone at the wedding. And
I kind of assumed that was because of the deal and everything, but maybe not. I don't know.
I thought it was, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And maybe we'll find out if they're done with the zombies or not, since we had that conversation before. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people like that ship, and it's big, and you know, it works, but I agree it's not necessarily my favorite ship either, but yeah, it's good, and I think people are happy with that, and, you know, as long as it's done well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I'm still for Wynonna and Doc. That's always going to be my ship.
I mean,
so.
I don't really ship them either. Like, they're sort of like friends with benefits kind of thing is fine with me. I don't really need to see them, like, be together as a couple either. I kind of like the way they are sort of on and off and don't really know what they want.
Yeah, that works, too.
Works for me.
Yeah, we don't have to have them, you know, get married like the other two.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
But I do like their relationship and that it's complicated, too. And obviously with what happened is going to throw a big wrench into that. So.
Yeah.
All right, well, I know the one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I could just hear some of the things you would say about, although I think it was funny, and I had said to you, I think before it, that I thought there were parts you were going to be annoyed with, that they were funny, but they were kind of silly, the whole Nicole is a ghost in a fancy dress idea.
Yeah.
That was a little bizarre. It had its funny moments. I mean, it wasn't like written terribly or anything. It just was a very odd thing to do. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a little odd how she could, like, you know, sort of participate in the whole situation of her being dead. Because she was, everybody else thought she was.
The kid was kind of cool, though. Like, when she went.
That was
kind of
cool. That was cool, and everybody else kind of thought she was a frog at some point, but she was really a ghost.
Not a frog.
I mean, it was a little odd, but it didn't really bother me, right? It was fine.
Right.
It was kind of interesting how, I guess, the way this finale ends is sort of like with everything is sort of like calm. A lot of times in mid-season finale, it'll be like, a huge cliffhanger, and I don't know if this was really intended to be written as a mid-season finale, or it just worked out to be a mid-season finale because that's where they were when they had to stop shooting.
Mm-hmm. I would guess that, but I don't really know.
Because this ended like on a like everything is calm and fine for right now note, which works, I think, as a mid-season finale. But you know, the Clanton thing is still out there. Needing to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of backlash.
Still out there somewhere too. So. Yeah, so we'll have to.
Like Wynonna shooting, there's the nicest client in the back is not.
But she's got Peacemaker back now. That's the other.
She
thing.
Does, thank God. Being with that Peacemaker was an interesting storyline for a while, but I was ready for us to move on from it.
I like her having it, but we don't need to have the same full story. But I guess it can probably, kill demons, though, too, not just the ones that she needs to send back that were part of the curse. I mean, I don't see why not. And it's
still
done.
All on curse, right? Like, they're...
Yeah, but I assume that... I'm trying to think.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell. First, I thought it was crying. I'm like, what? Okay. Like,
sorry.
What?
Fire truck.
Yeah,
okay. Fire truck going by.
Yeah. But I guess I can still, like, kill demons and stuff. So, you know,
I mean,
that works.
They're all,
but, yeah, we don't need
revenant,
to curse.
Right? Like, revenants is sort of a catch-all term for every demon-y kind of
thing.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I got. I thought revenants before were just the ones that were part of the curse.
Me too.
But it seems to not
me
be.
Me too, yeah.
But, you know, her having a demon-killing gun is fine. I just, you know, it's still going to be a different story because that curse is not on. And I am surprised, actually, that they got rid of the curse last year, though. I thought that was going to be, like, a storyline thing. But, I mean, you know, it's neither here nor there. It's fine without it. I mean, we really don't need it because it made sense to wrap it up, so. But I'm glad
especially since it was looking like the last season at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know it was going to happen. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right, well, sometime next year, it'll be back. Jamie, in your interviews, it was clear when you talked to Tim Rose on that they are filming again, though, right? They've resumed shooting? Okay, so maybe we get lucky and that'll put us in the early part of 21 to see it and not have to wait like a year.
Yeah, well, but you got to remember, too, even if they're done filming it, obviously there's a lot of post. So just because they're done filming it, you know, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
and then
I'm guessing even by now the filming may be over. I can't remember exactly what he said.
Yeah.
I think he said 3 weeks. I don't know how long it's been since I did that. So it's probably close to done. At
close
least Princess is shooting
filming.
Anyway. I don't know about anything else. So,
yeah,
you know,
and then, you know, you're right, they have posts, and then the network needs to find a spot for it outside of normal schedule, so hopefully soon. All right, we'll set that aside for a while now until it comes back, and I guess AJ will hop back out and we can talk about Raised By, I keep wanting to say Guided By Voices, which is this band that I...
Now you want to say that.
Wow, that's...
I see
that's,
sometimes,
that's
right?
More,
Raised By Wolves.
That's further off than Raised By. That's further off than Raised By Children.
Yeah,
I know. Guided By Voices. Raised By Wolves. Yeah. So it's not really when I hear that. When I heard the title, I mean, I know it was about like children being raised by like androids, but Raised By Wolves, you know, gave me one idea of what it was going to be about, and I feel like it's not really like to me. Raised By Wolves is like, you know. It
well, I think
think
they
of, like,
kind
a little...
of explained like where they got the title from, obviously, in this episode. But yeah, it was
kind of
odd thing to call it that.
It makes me think of a little kid like being raised by wolves and how they would be kind of wild and not be, you know. And I thought maybe they were going to be weirdo kids because of being raised by androids, and in fact, the kid is fairly normal. So.
Go ahead.
I was going to say you like it, I think. Did you want to talk first about what you like about it, or would you
And I don't want to go, obviously don't want to go too far and go ahead, but I do like it. I mean, it's kind of one of those shows there where I'm not sure what the end game is, per se, yet. That it's more of like a situation like about what's going on, and obviously... I mean, obviously now it's about them, you know, her having kidnapped the other children and that. But overall, I like it. I'm just curious where it's going. But I do like it. It did start out a little slow, but I think it got I got a lot more into it after the first episode. And it's different. I don't know. I like it. I think it's pretty good. But I don't know. I mean, I watched them, the first ones that I watched all at once. So I'm not, how many are they releasing at a time? Two?
They released the first three, and now they'll be one at a time for the rest of the next seven.
So I guess, like, I don't know. A lot of times, you know, when you watch them week to week, you get a different feeling. So I don't know. But I liked it, but I watched it, like, pretty much almost straight through. So I think that makes a difference, too.
And to be clear, you've seen the six that were released to critics?
Yeah, I've seen
the
there's they actually sent more. I have not had a chance to see yet, but I at least did see the first set that they sent. Yes, so I am ahead of you. So I'm going to be careful what I say. But overall, I like the show. I mean, I think it's a good show. Like I said, I'm curious to kind of see where it's headed, like what the ultimate, you know, where it's headed. But this one gives a lot into it, and I do want to. Well, I want to talk about this episode, but first, let me see what do you guys think so far of the show.
AJ?
Well, let's see. Let's put it this way. Karen and I were texting yesterday about it, and she clearly likes the show more than I do because she remembers the character's name. I refer to the characters based on their appearance because I don't remember anybody's names except for Campion, mother, and father.
I was going to say, those names are kind of easy to remember, but yeah.
yeah, those are the only three I can remember. It's very slow. After the second episode, Artie and I kind of looked at each other like, I can't take any more of this tonight. Let's watch the third episode the following night. And 20 minutes into the third episode, I was like, I'm friggin' bored. I did finish the episode, and it was kind of intrigued me the way the episode ended. But for the most, I've got to say, for the most, I had high hopes because Ridley Scott's attached to it. I gotta say, for the most part, I'm really bored. I do think that the premise of religion versus atheists destroying the planet, I thought was an interesting way to go with why they had to find a new world. See, in one episode, seeing the Battle of Boston, I got a chuckle of that. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, the world is what we saw of it completely decimated.
Right.
So it's an interesting angle to take, being atheist versus faithful. But it's
yeah.
just really, really slow. Like, there's no nuance, and I do find Marcus or Caleb, whichever his name actually is, I find him and his wife kind of interesting, being that they were atheists who took over the looks of religious people, who had a son who apparently just from what I've seen in these three episodes, religious people didn't really interact with their children. So for them to, they were interacting with their son, and he's like, why are you talking to me? So I thought
yeah.
that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's great. I guess.
Which, and then the mother, she's really worried about him when he gets taken and everything. So it's kind of interesting dynamic to see it's not their son, yet they both feel very connected to him. So I'm curious to see what their end game is because they clearly don't believe what the religious believe. They're atheists, so therefore, it's I understand that they're undercover, for their own survival. But it'll be interesting to see what their goal is overall. But it's just I don't know. Just the whole overall of everything, it's just really boring. And there's this whole prophecy thing, which is Part of me thinks we're led to believe it's Campion, but at the same time, they kind of like make it sound like it's going to be the blind boy.
Paul.
It's going to
be Paul.
Tree branch.
It's going to be Paul. Who's an orphan,
but
he doesn't know he's an orphan.
There,
no, wait, I'm sorry. What? Say that again. What's going to be Paul? You guys kind of went garbled for a second.
The prophecy.
Oh,
the prophecy of that an orphan child on a desolate planet will, save humanity or whatever. It's so obvious to me that it's going to be Paul, right, who doesn't know he's an orphan. Nobody knows he's an orphan except for Marcus and Sue, who are supposed to be the good people, who actually murdered his parents in cold blood so they could escape.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah. Okay, what do you think, Karen? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done.
No,
keep going.
The last thing I was
going
to say was the only thing that maybe even want to watch episode 4 is I'm intrigued by where the little girl that disappeared in the first episode has been this whole time and what she's been doing and how she's been surviving.
The girl that disappeared, you mean the sister?
Yeah, the sister that fell down the hole, supposedly, who clearly that's her voice at
yeah.
the end, singing. She's singing the exact same song that she was singing
yeah,
when
okay.
she allegedly
I
fell down the hole.
About. Okay, I see what you're talking about. I can't comment on that. I see what you mean now.
Okay, so I don't like this show at all, but I can appreciate certain aspects of it completely, like the batshit crazy parts of it, like a giant golden Christ figure robot with a a siren scream that killed, like the canary call or whatever that thing, right? Like she can like kill people with her voice. I'm like, what the hell did I just watch on my television? Are you kidding me, Ridley
Scott?
She's
not supposed to be dying. You mean the mother?
Yes, when she turns into like a flying gold robot and screams and kills people.
She's not
supposed
to be giant, though. Did you say she's supposed to be giant?
I don't know. Whatever she is, it's fucking nutso to watch that shit on my television, okay? I feel like there are some good parts about it. I think the first two episodes are so well directed because those are the two Ridley Scott episodes, and I do feel like those two, while they're slow and kind of boring and there's not a single likable character on the entire cast, those episodes were they're visually compelling and well-directed, and Ridley Scott is getting great performances out of those two actors. It's so hard to play a robot, right? It's so hard to play an android. And these are weirdo androids because they're, like, without emotion, except, like, sometimes the script demands that they exhibit an emotion, and so they do, right?
Well, I think that's part of it, that they do have some emotion, or at least that they exhibit emotion, whether it's part of their programming or not.
They have programming. They don't have I don't think they have emotion. That's programming. And clearly Mother is kind of scary. But I felt like there are parts of it that are really visually interesting, and there are parts of it I'm like, oh my God, like Ridley Scott, could you allow some color to be in any movie you make ever, please?
Yeah, it definitely has a Prometheus color tone. Yeah.
Prometheus, Alien,
I guess they were too, but for whatever reason.
Gladiator is very dusty and dry. Everyone's rolling around in the dust throughout all of Gladiator. He's kind of real. And actually, one of the things that confused me is why they chose this planet to go to. Is it the only inhabitable planet in the solar system? Because it's inhospitable and not really a place that you should choose to maybe raise new civilization.
I assume to some extent they were going to probably terraform it because they were all headed there. They were the only ones that got there. That's why nobody's there yet. You know what I mean?
Well, how are they
going to
terraform it? They got two robots and six babies.
No. I mean the humans that were coming. Like, they were supposed to come down on the Ark or whatever and check it out, but, I mean, I kind of assumed that, like, once everybody made it, that they would make the planet.
I'm not aware that they have any technology that they can terraform anything, right?
I'm assuming that. That's
They chose a desert where the only thing that grows is a giant radioactive squash. It appears to be the only food they have that they've lived on for 12 years is these giant whatever they call them, right? There's no animals on the entire – they chose, like, a vegetarian planet with no animals on the entire planet. And it amazes me that they keep talking about the equator and the tropical zone and, like, why didn't they land there? Like, if you know there's a tropical zone, why do you land in the desert? Because the script dictates that you should. That's why. Because Ridley Scott doesn't like colors or leaves. or water. Actually, he loves rain. There's no rain in this Ridley Scott movie. It hasn't rained once. Anyway, I did think that... Also, the costumes. Like, the robots are so, like... Did they have to lose 50 pounds when they got the job? And they're wearing those, like, very 1970s-looking, like... kind of funny. It's got a lot of throwback aspects to it, right? Even though it's set in 2145 and they can fly around or whatever. At any rate, I digress, but I thought a lot of the direction was good. I think the two lead actors playing mother and father are doing pretty good work, particularly with what they're given. I do feel there's not a single, I don't care if these kids live or die, whatever. Like, I have nothing invested in them. They were pretty cute little tiny babies. They were weirdly small and cute, but we go from a scene where they're 4 and then a scene where they're 12, and like I'm sorry that little girl died, all those kids died, but I wasn't invested in them. I don't really care enough about anyone. Really, Caleb/Marcus is the only character that has a discernible personality and an iota of charisma that I'm interested in. AJ, feel that faith versus technology or faith versus non-faith is sort of really well-trodden territory in science fiction and is not a new concept that we're looking at. So maybe they can do something new with it. But I mean, we've seen faith, the dangers of faith in science, you know, faith being demonized in science fiction for, I mean, almost in science fiction, like became a thing. Right. So I don't know if they're going to do anything new with it. I do agree with you that it's kind of interesting to see, you know, a person, an atheist masquerading as a person of faith to try to survive. And in some, and he seems to be the more compassionate person compared to the faith leaders that he's stuck with who, you know, I mean, okay, it's pretty non-original to have a faith leader rape a child. So Tempest has been raped in stasis and is pregnant. I think that was maybe a little derivative and obviously demonizing the faith people. The most ridiculous part of it is, why are they dressed like they're from Monty Python? Like, what the hell are they wearing? It's 2145.
Yeah, it's kind of weird costume.
Right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Do they look like they're wearing Monty Python robes with the sun on them? I mean, they're like from the Crusades.
You're right.
Yeah, they really are.
Like, if I was going to go into space and colonize a new planet, that is not, I think, what I would tell my people to, like, what are they wearing? How do you fight a war dress like that? How do you, oh my God, it's ridiculous. Go ahead.
Something I found interesting was the scene that Campion started praying. They're teaching them, if mother and father are teaching them, the children, about how, you know, faith is bad, you know, religions are bad, and, you know, there is no God and all this and everything. Who's Campion praying to and why?
Yeah, I mean, where would he have learned to pray, right?
Right, exactly. Like, that didn't make sense to me.
I mean, it makes sense to me that to see him drawn towards faith and drawn towards the idea of something bigger than himself, right? But where would he have learned to pray, or that praying is a thing? I'm also not entirely down with, okay, it's one thing to be like, we don't believe in faith and, you know, humans have to rely on themselves or whatever, but, you know, also teaching that people of faith are bad, you know. But so in our current society, but in theory, you believe, I don't believe, whatever, live and let live. But this has devolved by 2145. We're in a holy war, basically, right? Like the world is destroyed by a holy war, where people have, it must be an alternate timeline because they seem to worship the sun.
Well, it's way
sort of
future.
Like, I know, but they, it's like an ancient, I mean, that's an ancient type of, I mean, that type of ancient, sort of, that was an ancient type of religion.
Did they actually say it was a sun, or just that they call the god soul?
Well, they call him soul. They have a picture of the sun on their Monty Python costume. And
I didn't necessarily think of it that way, I guess.
Well,
but
he's like the sun
be.
God, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a different religion.
Yeah.
I'm
kind of interested. So real quick, let me just, I think both of you alluded to this, especially AJ. I do think, you know, it's a little bit interesting the way Marcus and Sue were like, okay, we murdered these people to take their place, and now we kind of pretend to be parents. What the hell? They have a kid. We murdered someone as a kid. Like, first of all, it was okay to murder people, but not if they have a kid. But now they're like, we're stuck being parents of this kid. But they seem to have grown to love this child and become true parents in stasis, right? It was in stasis for 13 years that they parented this child. And that's when came to love him and became parents. So that's interesting to me in the way that there's robot parents who are programmed to be protectors and parents. And then there are these parents who also only through technology became like parents, right? Like, I don't know if that's interesting or not, but there's some sort of parallel going on there, right?
Okay, well, I'll say what I think. I do like this show. I will say that I did say it started off, you know, a little slow. And that's why I said at this point I kind of was more like, where is it going? Because, you mm-hmm. know, it's about, like, the kidnapped children and everything, and obviously they're trying to get them back. But I was curious where it's going. But the more you get into it, there's more religious things, but there's also... I feel like, without giving anything away, and this is like in a lot of shows, but I kind of feel like some of it becomes about like what it is to be human type of thing, and that I don't know. I kind of think it's hard to tell whether they have real emotions or they're programmed or whatever. I think to some extent maybe they do, but I don't know. They feel more. I feel like in the next few episodes the show goes on, they start to feel more real, I guess. Because I feel like at the beginning they are very, like they're, I don't know, I feel at least like I feel they're less thinking
yeah.
about them like as the androids, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I do appreciate that. I do also like the character of Marcus and Sue. I agree. I think what happened was interesting. I mean, they didn't kill people, not that it's okay they killed them, but obviously they killed them to survive, not because they were going around killing people. That doesn't make it okay. But I do think, yeah, that it's interesting that they're like, we didn't know they had kids, and then it seems that that kid didn't even have
yeah.
parents because they didn't take care of them.
But they didn't kill them like it's a war and you jumped up in front of me and it's
kill
or be killed.
No, they killed them to take their place on the Ark.
They tracked them down and, like, made a plan, tracked them down, and killed them to take
mm-hmm.
their place. It's pretty hard.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's definitely bad.
Forget what they did, yeah.
They were still doing it, trying to survive. Not that makes it okay. I'm just saying. They're not, like, murderers where they went out and killed everybody.
They are, in fact, murderers, okay? They're murderers.
No, they're
murderers.
Murder you know what I meant. I mean, they're not, like, serial killers that were going around killing
okay.
just for fun. It was more what I meant. But, yes,
okay.
you're right. They
All
are
right.
murderers.
Yes.
Yes. I didn't say that right. But I do like... this episode, though, how a lot of it's, like, about trust and truth and everything. And, I mean, I think it probably was obvious. Like, I didn't think from the beginning, he kind of figured that it probably wasn't actually her that tried to kill him. But I don't know. It went back and forth a little bit, I guess. For a while, I wasn't sure. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. And then you find out, like, that, you know, it wasn't her fault and why they died. But... they should have tested the things. I guess for whatever reason he was immune. Obviously the other ones took longer to get sick, but that's why they got sick right away. But, I don't know. I find a lot of interesting, too, how, like, he tricks his father in this one. And, you know, he's kind of, like you said, even when he prays, like, he's kind of, like, doing his own thing and going by more, like, caring about the human children, at least in this episode, when he tries to break them out. But I feel like after this episode as well that they maybe become more a little bit more of a family unit after this because obviously, you know, even the mother went out and tried to save the kid. Like, they do care that they're okay even if she's quite nuts.
I
don't know.
Weird because does she care or is it just her programming to keep them alive?
Yeah, I said I think some of that more comes – I mean, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily told one way or another. I mean, I think a lot of it's kind of your own interpretation of it. But
yeah.
But I feel like that more comes to the forefront as the episodes go on. And like I said, there is more about the whole religious thing and them trying to get the kids back and that. And I do think that it gets more – not that it's not interesting. It's interesting to me now. But I do know what you're saying. Like, it's kind of like it's slow and you're not sure where it's going. It does, I feel like, starts to go more in a direction once during the next three. And granted, I still haven't seen it all. But I don't know. Overall, I like it. It's different. I obviously like it more than you guys do. But maybe if you see more, you'll like it. Maybe you won't watch the rest. I don't know. That's up to you guys.
Well,
I
gotta take
better.
AJ's point pretty clearly that, like, I don't know, like, anyone's name except for the couple people who are interesting.
I don't know their names
and some,
either.
And some of them I made names up for, like Young Sheldon, you know who young Sheldon is for me on the show? You know, that kid who's like, my IQ is 500 and I'm not doing any work on this farm. And they're all like, I gave some of them names. There's the old white-haired guy who's like the bad general who needs to be like clearly killed by Marcus soon, right? He's the cowardly guy. He's sort of like Gaius on Battlestar. I mean, so I feel like
I remember that. But
a lot of this was covered on Battlestar Galactica. A lot of this, like, I think the idea of what makes you human, that Ridley Scott thoroughly covered that in Blade Runner, and I can't believe he's interested in retreading that concept, right? I mean, he made the defining movie about, like, life like androids and what makes them human. It surprises me that he would... by the way, I read today that the last time Ridley Scott made a show for television was in 1969. He made some British TV show in 1969. And this is his next TV thing. But to AJ's point, I don't really care if any of them live or die. Like, is there one person that if they died, I'd be like, oh, I'm not watching the show anymore. I really think they should kill a large percentage of the people and then it will be better.
Funny.
Get rid of the red shirts.
I do think you start to care more about him the more it goes on. I mean, this is like, I think, kind of the first episode where we really, maybe I'm wrong, I'm trying to remember, I watched them all together, but I think this is kind of the first episode where we really got much from the other children, isn't it? Like, that we really get much of their personalities. Yeah. Well, like I said,
well,
they become, as a whole, more of a unit, and I think that those characters in that become more interesting after this one, because we're more into that part of it, you know. So I don't know. That's what I feel, but I guess you got to tell me if you decide to watch more.
Yeah, I'm going to at least watch episode 4. But one thing I was going to say that I appreciated is Ridley Scott's. It's got to be, you know, like one of his little things. The first thing I noticed. When one of the androids got hurt, immediately I was like, the Milky White substance!
Yep.
It's what?
Yep.
What did he say? I couldn't hear what he said.
The androids bleed Milky White substance, like an alien.
Oh. Yeah, just like an alien. Yep. All Ridley Scott robots. Milky White substance, yeah. I mean, it has his hallmarks for sure. I'd be happy to watch more crazy, bonkers, flying robots with a scream of death. I mean, like, let's just watch her blow more people into a bloody mist.
I do like the effect of the bloody mist, though, in the first episode. I thought it was cool. But, yeah, it's
some of the
a little overkill.
Some of the effects were good. Some of the effects are better than others. I think they spent all the money on effects, and they didn't spend pretty much any money on costumes. They just got some silver lame for the robots, and the children wear rags pretty much all the time, and old Monty Python costumes, and they were done.
I can't believe I didn't even think of that till you guys said that, but now that you said that, that's all I'm going to think about when I watch it.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to know why it took 12 years for the golem creatures to show up.
That's interesting, AJ. That's really interesting. They're sort of humanoid looking. I mean, right?
That's what I kind of wonder. I don't know. I kind of, when I saw them, wondered if they were humans at one point or something. And I have no idea. I'm just spitballing. But
I wondered about that, too. Could they be humans that were somehow, you know, I also wonder about the giant holes that appear to me, like, could they be mechanically made, those giant holes? Like, they were either made by the crazy, whatever those dinosaur worm skeletons they're digging up.
The bones,
either made those holes, or they look like they could perhaps be mechanically made.
Well, the one hole, the big hole at the beginning, was from where their ship crashed.
No. Their ship crashed into a hole that was already on the planet. Because you crashed and fell into that hole,
there's
another question.
There's multiple holes.
How's that?
There's multiple holes,
they
yeah.
go underground and stuff, so yeah.
I'd like to know why they never retrieved the ship when Campion was able to climb down to that ship in like 2 minutes and use the radio, and yet the robots never bothered to salvage anything from that ship for 12 years.
Well, he did sneak into it, but yeah, I know.
I think they did,
right.
Actually. No, well, they did salvage everything from the ship that was inside, because after they fell in the hole, Mother even says, she looks back at him and says, salvageable. And then, because they only carried out 6 of the embryos, they had to go back.
12 embryos, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess they probably took what they needed, but I didn't even think
yeah,
about
it just
that.
Seems
you were
to
supposed
me,
to
like,
assume
it,
they did, I guess, and not really.
Kid was able to, in 2 minutes one day, he's like, let me climb down there and turn on the radio and call some people.
Yeah, well, he's a kid.
They never, no,
yeah.
but the robots never saw any value
yeah.
in a fully functioning ship. How about fly to the equator, the tropical zone, where some leaves might grow. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they know more than they're letting on, the robots. Maybe, you know, maybe a mother. I mean, of course, it seems that she didn't know that she was a weapon until some level of protective instinct kicked in. Or has she been flying around at night killing these, like, creatures and nobody knew about it until right now?
She might not even know.
Probably not. But yeah, she doesn't even know. Like, she didn't know she was. I mean, that's a trope that we've seen in science fiction forever also. Like, a character that doesn't know that they were built as a weapon, right? They think they're a normal robot, normal person, and it turns out that they were engineered to be this kind of thing. In this case, it seems like she was built to be. I mean, there's a point where the Knights of Sol, or whatever they're called, the religious fanatics, but they say, like, the atheists couldn't be smart enough to reprogram one of our necromancers, but clearly they did. And there was this, right? Like, she's been reprogrammed by...
Right, but obviously some of that programming is coming through now.
But she was reprogrammed either by... So was she reprogrammed by... the atheists, or did someone on the religious side reprogram her to take these kids?
Well,
we don't know yet. We don't know who reprogrammed her, right?
I think Marcus clearly knows more about it than he's letting on, obviously. Because when they're having that conversation, he kind of has this look on his face like, I know something you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, we didn't mention, but, you know, I think that because the main characters that we're given the opinion of Mother and Father that religion is bad and that the Knights of Sol, I'm going to call them because I forget their name, that they are the aggressors. They're the aggressors and they're terrible and they like tried to wipe out people who didn't believe, right? And I mean, I guess that's true, but look at how the atheists, like, conscripted child soldiers and forced them to fight. Like Marcus had Caleb had a pretty bad upbringing as a child soldier, a very abusive and violent environment
like
that he was brought up in.
Right, in a lot of things.
Like, is there anything worse than conscripting child soldiers? I mean, that is like,
yeah.
And then,
well,
you know, the
I
way
think...
they force them to fight and stuff.
Well, I think ultimately it takes two sides, you know. It takes two to tango.
Yeah.
I don't think either side was bad in any way, shape, or form. But when you get people in power who butt heads and then start the war, it kind of goes to shit from there. You know, like, I don't think either side is good or bad, you know.
No,
yeah,
you're right, but I guess, like, Mother has been indoctrinating the children and by extension indoctrinating the audience that... It starts with an M, the mere, whatever they're called, the crusaders, like, are in her telling of it, the aggressors and the architect of wiping out Earth. Yes. But I guess by positioning it that way, it sets it up for the audience to sort of believe that. And while it does appear to be true at face value, we see that the atheists are not exactly like, they're not exactly like
innocent.
Without, they're not without sin, so to speak, right? Even
yeah.
though they don't believe in sin,
right.
they're not without sin.
Right. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll watch it again because we're going to watch it again and cover it, but I think it's boring and bad, and I better see some people get vaporized into a bloody mist next week or I'm going to be disappointed. I just want to see Mother fly around in her gold persona and, and taking her eyes out and putting her eyes back in, this thing with her eyes coming out and in. By the way, you guys, I read online and I want to give credit to the site where I read it, and it might be, it's not Collider. Mother gives her name. When they ask, what's your name? She says, my name is Lamia. Lamia,
yeah.
right? Is that how she pronounces it? So
something
apparently,
like
apparently Lamia was a daughter of Zeus. Like in Roman mythology, she's a daughter of Zeus. And no, she's not a daughter of Zeus. Zeus was in love with her, and like Hera was pissed and killed all of her children, killed all of Lamia's children, and then Lamia became like enraged and became very violent and like killed all these people. And Zeus like gave her, like, they're in versions of the story, she gets another pair of eyes and like takes out her eye. Like, I'm gonna have to read it some more.
That's
but if you read and wrote, and it's interesting because everybody on the show is named, like, not everybody, but Marcus, there's a Lucius, there are some like that loser commander who's a terrible leader, who actually, did you see them? This is why I'm saying Monty Python. Did you see them walking around and they're carrying the guy in a chair like he's the Sultan or
yeah.
whatever?
I
like,
was wondering
what?
If that
it's
was Cave yet. I was going to call them.
You know,
right?
You know,
it's 2145.
I feel like
I
carried
Artie,
you.
I said to Artie, I was like, why are the humans carrying him around instead of the android?
Yeah, I
right?
know. That's another good question.
Good question.
But that's
why is anyone carrying him around?
I think she made it up.
That's really awesome that Karen.
Yeah.
So
hmm?
we have this show about religious people and atheists, yet everybody has these pagan names from pagan mythology.
from Roman mythology. They a lot of them do, right? And
that's very interesting.
Particularly Lamia, who's this character in Roman mythology who her children were murdered and she was enraged, and then Zeus, to appease her, gave her like I forget what it is, but a separate set of powerful eyes. Like if you Google her and read like Lamia Roman mythology, you'll see some of this. And if I read it more, I wonder if I could predict where this is going with her. I don't know, but I mean, that's definitely where the inspiration is coming from. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, the eyes, man. Anybody who
right.
like can't stand to put contacts in their eyes probably can't stand to watch this show.
Oh God, I remember going through that when I was younger. Bringing back annoying memories.
Yep.
I used to have my aunt came over every morning before school and put them in my eyes for me. Because I started getting them in like, I think, fifth grade, I think. Because I had them since
young.
I was little, and I could not, for the life of me, get them in for a while. I finally, you know, obviously figured it out, but at the beginning, she had to come over every morning and stick them in my eyes. Because I'd
was your
like
eye
an hour friend. Still trying to get them in. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So we'll cover this again next week, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And if anybody hasn't seen it, I do have up the video interviews with them from the press junket. It was with the ones who play mother and father and the executive producer. So those
I think they're doing a decent job, those two actors. I think it's really hard to play an android or a robot or a character that inherently
really
is without emotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
they're doing a good job. I mean, they're well-directed, of course, but I think they're, you know, I think the one who plays Mother is great, but the guy who plays the father, and I'm sorry, I don't know these actors' names yet, but he's playing him in sort of a dad joke kind of way.
Yeah,
and
I like
his
funny
dad
joke. Yeah,
I was just
going to
say something about that.
Yeah.
Her name's Amanda Bone and Abubakar Salim.
Thank you.
Not that you'd remember that.
Thank you.
But
it's a very sort of modern sitcom way of looking at parents. Like, there are so many sitcoms where the dad is the jokey, dopey guy and the mother is the powerful one who really, like, even a show as smart as Black-ish, like Dre is sort of like the jokey dad and Bo is the powerful mom, right? And it's common on so many shows. In fact, I did see some criticism in the comments online that the women on this show are only wives and mothers. There's only two women on the show, pretty much, right? There's mother and
there's
Sue.
A lot of women, but yeah.
There's mother and Sue are the only female characters so far.
Well, there's a couple of kids, but yeah.
And they are defined by being mothers and wives, really, right? Like, except that mother is, I mean, she's defined by being mother, but she's a very powerful. I mean, they chose to have these robots have traditional kind of gender roles, but I guess if you're raising children, they want to have a mother and a, like, whoever created them. I think that we could see some of these women. There was a woman in the simulation while they were sleeping who was a leader on the ship, and there, we might see some more women characters become more powerful and not be defined by their. So there are people complaining about that anyway in the comments, that why are they just mothers and wives? Why aren't they? But it's episode 3, and the show is inherently about parenthood. Like right now, at least. I mean, I don't know what it's inherently about, but in the first 3 episodes, it seems to be largely focused on parenthood. So of course, characters are going to be defined by being a parent, right? So I don't have that complaint. And, I'm one of the first people to complain when a show has too many women in, like, traditional women's roles. Maybe not the first one, but I do complain about it sometimes. And I don't have that complaint right now because that's what the show is about, duh.
Right. All right.
So, anyway.
I'm going to tell this message. The other thing I was going to say, and I was trying to get the date, but a couple of things I was going to say. This isn't about that, but unless you guys have more to say about this, I didn't.
No, please. I think we're done.
No, but I'll
just keep
saying.
Yeah,
cut me off.
I was going to say there's a show coming out on a regular HBO called The Third Day that I started watching. That's like a mystery that seems really interesting. Although it creeped me out. I watched it too late at night, so I stopped watching it late at night. It gives me not that anything's happened yet to imply that, but it gives me like a Wicker Man vibe. I don't know. It was freaking me out. But that's with Jude Law, and I think that's going to be cool. It's like two different, there's like sets of episodes, two different stories, and then there's going to be like a live episode actually that connects the two, but because of COVID and everything, it got moved forward, but it seems like it's going to be good. And then the other thing I was going to say, although I didn't get it yet with everything going on, I hadn't gotten it back, but Christiane covered there was a Ratched press conference that she
Ratched.
Covered. Yeah. Yeah. So that will eventually be up. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll see that show or not. I don't know if that's my kind of show, but it'll probably be good. So there's that coming. There's really nothing else I have to announce. I do know an interview I'm probably going to get, but it's a ways away yet, so I'm not going to go into that because it's not till the end of the month. But, I'm trying to think if there's anything else coming on. But I'm drawing a blank. I don't know. So there you go.
No, I mean, there's some
stuff
coming back.
Obviously, The Walking
Deads
are coming back next month. But.
Oh, in October, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Jamie and I are shackled to The Walking Dead for the rest of our lives until it's over. So we'll continue to cover it, right?
Yeah, we'll still watch it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, well, I think that's
AJ
it
and I are
going to
we're going to do Lovecraft, and we look forward to your opinions next week, maybe.
Yeah,
Jamie?
I do want to get to watch that. We'll watch that next week. All right,
okay.
Well, have a good night, guys. Enjoy the rest of your
All right, good night, Jamie.
Fun.
Have a good week.
Good night, Jamie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
So, Lovecraft
Country. So this was the Indiana Jones episode, huh?
I thought of it more as kind of a National Treasure episode. But yeah, Indiana Jones definitely came to mind too.
So I did think that, AJ. Actually, as I was watching it, I'm like, oh, this is the Indiana Jones episode. But there was a point where I did start when you know they were underneath Boston and there were so many historical kind of things or whatever. I did think of National Treasure also. I read in Hollywood Reporter, I read a little short interview with the showrunner, Misha Green, and she said that Goonies was the major inspiration for the, like, water-filled underground caverns that they had to work their way through.
Funny you should say that, because when they finally get into that, when the ladder drops down, they climb up into the room that they've been looking for, and you see all the skeletons, you know, the bodies and everything, the skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
I said to Artie, I was like, look, it's One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah. So you caught it right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was kind of like a non-horror episode to me. This was like the adventure, you know, like I wouldn't call Goonies or National Treasure Indiana Jones, they're not horror movies, and this didn't have that horror vibe. This had this sort of, you know, X marks the spot, following a mystery kind of vibe to it. It did actually worry me. There was a point where I also felt like, oh no, am I watching Stranger Things? In the way that, you know, Stranger Things is so inspired by 80s movies. And week by week with Stranger Things, you can call out all those influences and say, this is the Star Wars episode. This is the whatever episode. This is a far more serious show than Stranger Things, but it also has a lot of inspirations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute I was like, oh no, I'm getting a Stranger Things kind of vibe, but it sort of went away. And there was enough, you know, I mean, there's a bit of this that it almost was like it wasn't a standalone. It was a bit Monster of the Weekish, and it was a little bit contrived. Like, there were some parts of it that I'm like, really, really, that just happened? Really? They're now in Chicago, the elevator's in Chicago. But overall, it held together for me, I think.
The elevator, right before they find the elevator, when the body of that guy floated by, and she's like, that's one of my missing neighbors. And then you see the elevator, and I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, they got a fucking elevator portal that looks just like the elevator from the house in Chicago. And I was like, and the fact that the body that they put in the basement in Chicago is here, I was like, but then I started thinking about the grand scheme of this whole order and economy. We're talking about time machines too. She was talking about time machine with that solar system contraption they've got there. It has something to do with the time machine.
The orrery, yeah. I mean, I have to say, what bothered me about it more maybe is that no one was surprised. Like, Letty says, that's my neighbor who went missing. But she says it in a very, like, that's my sock I couldn't find in the laundry last month. Like, she doesn't.
Yeah.
She's not at all freaked out or horrified by that.
She looks more confused.
Which maybe,
but then again, look what these people have been through over the past 4 months.
Yes, you're right.
So it's really not that far-fetched.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I thought maybe I'd like to see them be a little bit more alarmed.
They hung out,
felt a little.
I mean, they come across these multi-eyed worms, creatures. They spend some time with some wizards. They exercised a house last week, you know.
Yeah. So how did you like the whole, like, sort of Indiana Jones, Goonies, Night at the Museum kind of, really National Treasure maybe, to me, is while they don't cite it as as an influence, to me that's
really
what this was, right?
And you're right, you know, it had all those tropes and kind of nods to some of those great type of National Treasure, like, the overall, I got a very strong National Treasure vibe, but there was definitely Indiana Jones aspects, like, when there was that plank that ended up disappearing. I mean, even the visual of it, when we were panning back to show it, immediately I thought about the scene in The Last Crusade where Indiana Jones has to make the leap of faith.
Mm-hmm,
and then it turns
mm-hmm,
out, because
yep.
of the optical illusion, that it's actually a stone bridge that you don't see until it changes the camera angle.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of things that made me think of other things. I mean, of course, the seeing all those skeletons and me making the wide willy joke. I didn't really think about the whole water part of it with Goonies, but I can understand that, too.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like, you know, they took a bunch of, you know, these type of things and, you know, picked a little bit from, you know, movies or TV shows or whatever, those type of things, and kind of put them together in just the right way, and it really worked. I really, really enjoyed it the whole way through. I've enjoyed all four episodes so far.
I enjoyed it.
I feel like they've done a really good job crafting this story. And even the things that weren't focused on the three of them were really good too, I felt.
Yeah, I enjoyed also this sort of Indiana Jones thing going on. While some of it was a little too easy, like they did solve all the clues in like 1 second and move on. They only had an hour of television. It's not a movie. I get it. While it was a little too easy, I did really enjoy it, and I felt it was a bit of a respite from some of the horror that we've seen over the last couple weeks, and not just the supernatural horror, but like the horror of the reality of daily life for Black people in the 1950s in America. This episode was a little bit more about the horror that Winthrop and that white people perpetrated on indigenous cultures was a little more part of this, right? Which is still horror, but we didn't see our characters as, I mean, we saw a lot of racism as we always do, but it was not as
it wasn't as
scary as it is. This was like a lighter episode in a bunch of ways, which I appreciated. And, you know, not that I was looking for lighter, but I enjoyed that whole rollicking adventure that we got, where we knew they weren't going to die. Like, we knew they could die, but we knew they wouldn't die. And allowed us to look at some other parts of the story. Like, this whole thing with Montrose was like, what? Like, you could really focus on Montrose.
Yeah.
And all that was going on there. So what do you think is up with Montrose?
I have no idea. I mean, when he slit her throat at the end of the episode, I didn't know what to make of it. I immediately was like, what the hell is going on with him? Like, and it kind of bookends, because you think about the beginning of the episode, he's drunk as usual, but then he burns the I forget what the heck it's called, the Dawn, the Order of the Dawn Bible.
Dawn of Adam?
He's read it. Whatever the heck it's called.
Whatever it is.
And he burns it quickly.
That's the book that Uncle George stole from the manor in episode one or two, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You know, so, and then when he can, you know, he says, you know, later when Tick questions him about, he's like, how did you know this and that? He's like, well, I read it. And he's like, and you're just telling me now? And he's like, and then I burned it.
Yeah.
So there's definitely more going on there. Plus, let's not forget that he had been held captive for, I don't think they really said how long he was missing or gone. You know, so he knows a lot more than he's letting out. Like, there's a lot going on there. And plus this whole secret, when George was dying and he's talking to Montrose, tells him he needs to take care of his family and everything, and makes a comment about not even being sure if Tick is his son. So there's something else going on there, too, you know, which Montrose...
Because George was in love with Tick, like, they were both in love with Tick's mother.
I kind of felt that way, but I feel
that woman, when George has the hallucination in episode two and he's dancing with that woman, That's the same woman that's Montrose's wife that he has in a photograph in his house. That's not Hippolyta that he's dancing with. That's not Hippolyta. That woman with the bangs is the picture that Montrose, that's Tick's mother. It's George's long lost love.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I totally did not catch that.
There's a lot that's hard to catch in this. I feel like be a red herring because, I mean, it's interesting, and there's a part of this show that is about, I think, cycles of violence, and clearly Montrose's violent past, and, you know, George mentioned that Montrose was abused more by their father, and George wasn't, and...
Right.
I mean, there's all that going on, but Tick's supernatural power or whatever, his bloodline is coming down from his mother's side of the family. So one thing
right.
that interests me is why was Montrose so interested in his wife's genealogy? And why did Montrose, what did the mother tell him? Like, why has Montrose spent so much time investigating his wife? She'd been dead for a long time, right? I mean, he definitely,
yeah.
I think he's been studying this for maybe years, decades, years for sure, right? He knows a lot more even than he's just learned in the last few weeks since the show's been on. He's not telling anyone.
Yeah.
And you're right that he was held captive. I don't know if I trust him. Like, I don't trust him because he's traumatized and he's a loose cannon, but I also don't know to what extent he did he, I can't remember the woman's name that they, Yahima I think is her name, the woman they rescued, from the woman who became a siren, the indigenous woman.
Right.
So I'm calling her a woman. She actually is an intersex kind of, she had characteristics of both men and women, right? But in the show,
mm-hmm.
they refer to her as she. So call
yeah.
her she because they call her she in the show, right? So why he killed her, is he trying to protect Tick? Is Montrose hoping to protect Tick from going the way that Tick is Letty, you need to leave because this is too dangerous, and Letty's like, fuck you, I died. This is not happening to you. It's happening to us. Is Montrose kind of doing the same thing? Did he burn the book and kill Yahima because he's like, I need to protect my son? Or is he trying to protect something else? I don't know.
Right.
I don't really know.
And that's what's intriguing about it, because he's obviously a very complex character, and he still has many skeletons left in his closet that we need to unearth.
Yeah. Also, have you caught on to this whole thing, how they're trying to imply that he might be gay, or he might be bisexual, he might be involved with the bartender, Sammy, right? Did you catch that whole business? That's the only reason Tree was in this episode, right?
Well, that was actually something that threw me off. He said he was going to Philly, all right? If you're driving from Chicago to Boston, Philly's on the way. So why was he in Boston with them?
Yeah, if you buy a bus ticket from Chicago to Philly, is it cheaper to go from Boston to Philly? I don't know. I don't think so. And did the script just dictate that he goes along so he can start this trouble between Tick and Atticus and his father? I mean, that's kind of dumb. He could have dropped that piece of information at any time without being in the car, right?
Right. I drove from Chicago to New York, and I spent 12 hours of my 18-hour trip in Philly. Or not Philly, but Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is gigantic. The Pennsylvania Turnpike is so long. It takes forever, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way that you would go
to Boston with them.
Yeah.
If he was going
to Philly. There's no way you would go from Chicago to Philly and say that Boston makes it cheaper to get there.
Exactly. So
Boston, in 1955, Boston to Philly was probably 8 hours on the bus, right? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? But so that was all engineered. That was just kind of bad storytelling, I think.
Yeah.
to make this excuse so he can say, hey, your dad spends a lot of time with Sammy. Remember that guy you saw getting a blowjob behind the bar? Your dad hangs out with him. Which, is it a red herring? I don't know. It might not be anything. Like, this show, as much as it's about racism, this show also, you know, has a lot to say about how women, about patriarchy, and about how women are marginalized and how black women are marginalized. And clearly, I mean, I think that queer black people are, I don't know because I'm white, but from what I read and see, they're another marginalized community, right? And we,
right.
So is it just to, I mean, it was interesting to see how Tick had this sort of like, he was sort of like buying into it. He sort of was like, Dad, how do you know that? How do you know that security guard? Which, by the way, is very suspicious how he knows that security guard, but it's not because they're gay. It's because they know
right. Shit
about whatever, right?
Yeah.
But
well, you know,
I kind
of part
thought...
of the thing with Tree.
Yeah,
you remember, he also had just. He also mentions this after Tree finds out that he outed him to Letty, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Tree just finds out that Letty calls him out, and she's like, oh, since we had sex in high school. Which didn't happen because Tick was her first, so he lied about you know that in the first place. So what's so he's probably lying about this too, you know. I think.
So Tree's just a troublemaker.
It's gonna come around maybe in some way, shape, or form. Maybe like the little boy who cried wolf type of situation where you lied about this, and he's not really telling the truth about this thing though, and they're not gonna believe him. It's gonna.
Yeah. And it would be just another thing to come between Tick and his father, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
I mean, Montrose is a very – he's the character right now that to me is the most confusing. I was going to say the most interesting. I'm not sure that's true, but he's got the most, like – he's
the most
unknown
complex.
Character, right? Complex, you said? Yeah. Yeah, he's. I mean, what does Tick do when he finds out that Montrose did that? I mean, it's not like her throat got just slashed, like hanging around the house.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be something. It could. I mean, I feel like there's more to it, but it could be something as simple as she's now a siren. She opens her mouth, people die. You know, and he's protecting his son. It could be that simple, but I feel like there's more.
Out because he only did it like I feel like it was spurred by Tick saying I'm going to teach her English so she can write down what she knows. Like I feel like that
right. Was
the precipitating factor that made
Montrose
decide to kill her.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Real
quick, we haven't talked about Christina at all.
I feel like Christina.
There are going to be a lot of very sorry men. For us underestimating Christina, I think she is a force to be reckoned with, and I think all these men that are dismissing her are going to end up on the short end of the stick. And especially since she's got her boy toy best friend there working with her, he's pretty slick too. Because he just got his bloody sister.
I mean, you're definitely right. So Christina already was a creepy... force to be reckoned with, but she definitely is like railing against the patriarchy. Like she already, as Tick said, she probably killed her father because he won't let her in to the Order of Adam or whatever it's called, right? And men, I mean, she has the way she was put down by a man in this week's episode. She's such a powerful witch, right?
Yeah, sure.
And she was put down by this man. This two-bit white cop, although, did you catch that he has someone locked in the closet in his office? And she doesn't really seem to care. But I think you're right. Like, she is being put down by men, and there are going to be a lot of sorry men. I think that it's not genuine when she, you know, she sort of tried to come between Letty and Tick. Like, she says to Letty, when she can't come through the door, she's talking to Letty, and she's stuck on the porch, and she says, oh, don't, like, think he's special. She sort of says to Letty, like, oh, that man is not, like, taking you seriously, but then she makes this racist comment that sort of, you know, ladies on to her. But I don't think that Christina's feminism extends to black women. But you're right that she clearly is enraged that men are not taking her seriously.
Yeah.
And yet she's got this little boy toy. William is, yeah, her best friend, her servant, her whatever he is. What do you think about that whole business with Ruby? Him sidling up to Ruby?
Well, it's clearly a ploy to get into the house because
yes.
Christina couldn't.
Christina can't get in because of that blood on the hex on the door, right?
Yeah.
William maybe is not a – he's maybe not a sorcerer, maybe not a witch. He might be like a – you know how they talk about how vampires – a familiar, yeah. He's a familiar maybe, right? So he could maybe get in if Ruby would have him into the house. Although they're looking for the – I can't say this word – orrery. They're looking for the solar system sculpture, the orrery.
Yeah, which is no longer in the house.
No, it's kind of weird that Hippolyta stole it, right? Like, we saw her in that room, and she stole it. She didn't say, like, hey, Letty, there's this cool thing in your house. Can I borrow it?
Yeah.
She just totally stole it, right? Which makes me think that she's not – I wonder if she's, like, entranced by it. Do you think she's supernaturally attracted to it, or she's just like a great scientist and is like, this is pretty cool, let me just steal it and check it out?
I'm not really sure, especially considering the way the episode ended when she looked at George's map and turned around, and I was like, oh, this is not going to end well.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well. That's going to be bad partly because, like, Tick and Montrose decided to not tell the truth because it would...
Well,
it would be better for Hippolyta, but actually by not telling the truth, they're going to put her in danger, right?
Yeah, well, that's how it always goes.
That's how how every story always happens, yeah.
Yeah.
She might be the smartest one in the whole bunch, right? I mean, she's apparently like a genius astronomer or whatever. By the way, I read today that in the book... So what we saw in the episode was that she's like, oh, I named this comet, Heaven's, whatever it's called, somebody's
yeah,
chariot,
cool.
Right? She's like, I named it. So in the book, apparently, in the book, she named Pluto, but they couldn't allow a black girl to name a planet, and so they gave it to this white girl in Denmark. And apparently in the book, he names the real person who really named Pluto. So they probably did not want to impugn her name in the show. But anyway, there's a way that I haven't read the book. I only read that online today. But I mean, I think that Hippolyta will probably become part of the team. Like, I kind of like the way the team it might be expanding. Clearly, Dee has some sort of, I don't want to say power, but Diana, the younger cousin who writes these comic books that seem to and draws pictures on the Atlas that seem to have some sort of second sight or some precognition about what's going to happen, right?
There's definitely something there with her. She's definitely going to play a part. And it's interesting because you have all these characters and you're not quite sure what their roles are going to be, but you can see everything kind of coming together. This is episode 4, you know, and it's really being done well, and everything's coming together really nicely.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So,
seeing a show like this on HBO makes it worth seeing a bad show like Raising the Wolves on HBO.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I know, so the reviews on this show have been uneven. Like, there are people who love it. There are people who find it uneven. There are people who find it uneven. There are people who really, like, pick at some of the some of the weaknesses in the horror and the supernatural that you saw, like maybe this week, like, oh, it took only 5 seconds for them to open the vault. Oh my God, how that, you know, whatever. It's a whatever show. What are you gonna do, right?
Well, not only that, but you know, Artie and I were talking about something about this the other day. You know, the internet has changed the way people view and think about so much. And,
yep.
You know, where everybody has a voice, you know, you're going to have all these different opinions, right? And that's, on one hand, makes it great. On the other hand, it's like, this is, you know, some shows take themselves too seriously and they shouldn't, which is what makes them bad. And then there's, you know, the flip side where shows don't take themselves serious enough and make them bad. You know, but then there's, you know, a show like this, it's kind of a nice mixture, you know, where it takes itself seriously. Not too seriously to win ridiculous. Even feel going for it. So, yeah, I mean, did they figure out that puzzle too quickly as the last second as the plank disappeared? Yeah. But, like you said, it's an hour show. They don't have, you know, with everything they wanted to fit in the episode, they didn't have 10 minutes to figure this whole thing out. You know what I mean? They have the time to spend on it.
Well,
an hour
and also this show is trying to tell another story, which is also about what, you know, what it was like to be a black person in Chicago in 1954 and be involved in the supernatural shit, right? So I read today, and I pulled this up, so I read this on comicbook.com, and I wanted to credit to them because they did an interview with the director, whose name was Victoria Mahoney, was the director of this episode. She worked on Star Wars, and she was like the second unit director on Star Wars. Anyway, she said that she had this moment where she was talking to Journey Smollett, the woman who plays Letitia.
Letty.
She's talking to Journey on the phone, and she said Journey calls her, and she said about the script, she said, "This is Indiana Jones and the Goonies for black folks." And that's when Victoria was like, "I'm totally in," right? And like, that's really true, I think. Like, so I'm not black, and I don't want to say that I know that that's what Jordan Peele is doing with this, because he's not. But there's a whole other level of story that's being told here, and so we don't have time for them to spend an hour figuring out the whole direction of the light to hit the
right. Exactly.
Just open it and let's move on with the story, because there's all this other, like, real life horror that has to happen also in the show. We don't have time for this bullshit. Not that it's bullshit, but we don't have time for them to crack every mystery. Yes, it's a little simple to say, like, oh, Montrose read all the books for the last 10 years and he knows everything and
right.
he's like Mr. Exposition guy. And I get it. It's not perfect, but there's other fish to fry on this show.
There's going to be times where things are more deeply delved into, and there's going to be times like this where it's, all right, we need to open this door. We don't have time to spend on it.
Yep. And, like, you're watching a show about witches and sorcerers and the Garden of Eden, so just accept that someone figured it out and move on. Like, I can accept that.
Yeah, exactly.
That, right? So I can accept
exactly.
that Christina has all these powers. I can accept that they figured it out in 2 minutes, whatever.
Yep. So.
So right now I am most concerned about Ruby. Did you catch when Ruby was having sex with William and he has this creepy ass tattoo on his chest?
Yeah, that was weird.
It wasn't even a tattoo. It was like scar, right? It was like scarification, I think.
Yeah,
right?
They looked like scars, but they looked like purposeful scars. Like,
I don't know
branded.
How good the sex. I don't know how good the sex would have to be for me to not notice that. Right?
I'm
like
sure
Ruby
she
doesn't
noticed
even
it,
like.
She just didn't pay no mind. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she noticed.
I
mean, it looks like he's branded.
It does actually. It does look like he's branded in a very creepy and Satanist kind of a way. I'm also concerned.
Yeah.
did you catch when she broke that, when she cut her hand, and William
cut her hand, yeah.
And William like licks, like anytime, like, I'm like, oh, is that blood magic? Like, by her bleeding, is he going to be allowed to get, like, anytime you see blood and there's magic people, like, that is a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Fine, as far as whether she's going to live or die. But this isn't going to, this whole, that whole thing's not good.
No, I mean, I think you're probably right. I think she's an inherently good character. Like, she's not a, she's a less complex character. Like, Ruby's a simpler kind of a person, and what she wants out of life is much simpler than what, say, her sister Letitia wants out of life, and she's
right.
Yeah, but they're clearly using her, and it looks, did you see the promo for next week? It's like a Ruby episode next week, it looks like.
No,
not
I
a
didn't.
Ruby episode, but so it looks like in the promo from next week, it appears that, excuse me, AJ, it looks like she's a little bit more like the, like Christina and William are drawing Ruby into their world a little bit more. In the promo, and this is a, I mean, do you care if I tell you what's in the promo? It's a spoiler.
No, go ahead.
But there's a part where Ruby says, so magic exists. And it looks like she's spending some time with Christina and William, and I'm sure they're using her. I don't really know, but I'm sure they're using her, right?
Yeah.
Into that house. But it looks like Ruby, I mean, Ruby has things she wants out of life also, and
yeah.
If I was Christina, I'd try to use her for sure.
Yep. So, all right. Well.
Yeah. All right.
I like when we end the show with a good show.
Yeah.
So next week we will have one bad show, one questionable show, and Lovecraft Country.
One bad, wait, we have.
The 100 comes back.
Oh, the that's right. That 100 only took a 2-week break.
Yeah, the 100.
That puts us on a run to the finish.
30.
The 100 has how many episodes to go?
Four.
Only like four. Yeah. So, all right, it'll be over soon, AJ. So,
yep.
Three shows next week. Great.
On, yep. 100 is back on Thursday. Which.
Okay.
Oh. They moved. They changed their days because it was on Wednesday.
It was on Wednesdays, yeah.
They changed their day.
All right.
At least I think it. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure I saw it comes back 10th, but it's either on Wednesday or Thursday. I never watch it on the day
all
of
right.
Thursday anyway. So
I never either. So it's on Thursday. There'll be football. But yeah. I watch it whenever. So, all right, so we'll have three
yeah.
shows next week. Wow, that's great.
All right.
All right.
So we'll do it again next
so,
week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right.
Karen, have a good
thank
week.
Thank you, AJ. Yep, have a good week. Talk to you
and
soon.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.